Well, thank you for the kind introduction, John Paul. That's very nice of you. Glad to have you here with me this morning. If you want to join me on the radio, we'll just kind of kick off and get going with this. This program is Health Essentials. I would say the phone number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257. But before I take a phone call, I know I said that, but let me start over here. Before I take a phone call, let me say just a few things that might give you a different tact on what you would do to improve your health. I would say if we look at what everyone is dealing with, we are being bombarded by toxins. There's just no way around that. And our ancestors, our relatives that have gone before us, they just didn't have to do that. I mean, everybody had pretty much an organic garden. And so there was nothing called Roundup or glyphosate or other herbicides, pesticides, and chemicals. But now we need to have an advantage, and you've got to be smarter about this. And so let me give you an analogy right here. Well, I mean, it's my starting point, but I think it's going to be relevant. I remember years ago, maybe back in the 1990s, there were all these horrible fires that were in Mexico. And when you have that much land mass and trees and shrubs that are burning, all the smoke came right up into Texas. And I remember we had about 2 weeks, give or take, where every day it was just hazy. There was a smell of smoke in the air. You couldn't get away from it. And you always thought, well, when is this going to end? And it was during the summertime. And, of course, I remember going out riding my bicycle or taking the kids for a walk. And just the continual smell of the smoke in the air. Well, let's switch gears just slightly. If there's horrible smoke and pollution in the air, what is the one thing that'll knock it out instantaneously? Well, if there was a thunderstorm that moved over the area where there's rain. And one of the things that happens when you have an electrical thunderstorm is the electricity or the energy in the storm or the rain shower, it generates what are called negative ions. And these negatively charged ions are so good at neutralizing any toxic pollution that's in the air. And so if you had a smoke-filled, you know, backyard, well, what would happen? If a thunderstorm came over, you'd go outside and say, oh my goodness, the air smells sweet. It smells clean. That's what negative ions are. Even where I have my office, I've been in this location for 30 years now, and it's an older building, so one of the things that will definitely happen is when it rains a lot, sometimes the roof will leak a little bit, and so the net result is you're going to have mold grow. And this might be a side topic, but mold is absolutely one of the most toxic things that we could ever come in contact with. It could wreck anyone's health if you have enough exposure to it. That's one of the reasons why in the Old Testament they say if there is mold, you get away from it as quick as possible. But I have a negative ion generator in my office. It also generates ozone. It has a UV bulb. And the things are so cheap. Well, when I say cheap, I think this particular one, I've gone through several over the last 30 years, but if one of them lasts in my office working for 10 years and it breaks down, I'm not going to send it off to have it, you know, repaired if it cost me $57 to buy one in the first place. It probably costs to get it repaired, more to get it repaired. But I just turn on my ozone and my negative ion generator, and it quickly neutralizes any of the toxins in the air that may come as a byproduct of a few drops of water leaking into the rafters or the attic or the ceiling of my office. Well, one of the reasons why I was saying this to you, there's one fruit that is found in nature that has been shown it has absolutely the highest amount of naturally occurring negative ions. And so before you kind of poo-poo this idea, just kind of think about this just for a moment. Negative ions are so good at discharging toxins and eliminating poisons that we could come in contact with. So can't you just start to imagine that maybe this could be very, very valuable? Well, you're probably wondering what that is. Well, it's called a lemon. or a lime. Technically, I know that limes came first and then lemons came second. And there may be a slight difference if you look at the chemical composition of both of them. I think limes have a little bit more calcium than what lemons do. And lemons may have just a smidgen more potassium and magnesium. But outside that, they're just neck and neck, very, very close. There are several varieties, but my point that I'm trying to make is lemons are a natural substance, and limes are too. They are chocked full of negative ions. I promise you, that is what you want. Okay, let me see where I got this from right here. I tried to look up some reference points. I came across this man. His name is Pierce J. Howard, Ph.D., and he's written a book called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. And the subtopic is Everyday Applications from Mind-Brain Research. And this is what he says from his research. He's a brain researcher. He says negative ions increase the flow of oxygen to the brain. Well, if you don't read any, if you don't hear anything else but hear me reading that statement, this puts you in a much better place. What if you actually use your brain for a living every day? What if you need it to be able to think clearly? I mean, for all I know, maybe you're a school teacher. And last time I checked, school teachers use their brains all day long. So if you consume a substance that has these natural occurring, God-given, negatively charged ions, this increases oxygen to the brain. The net result is, you tell me that you're more alert, you're less drowsy after you have lunch probably, and you have more mental energy. That's everything that you want. I hear this story so frequently from individuals. They tell me they basically, the moment they get off work, they collapse in a puddle on their couch, and they can't do anything to participate with a family or to work on their projects or things they're interested in, and they just kind of fantasize, oh my goodness, if I only felt good enough to do stuff after I get off work, then I could actually have the life of my dreams. Well, he goes on to say that these negatively charged ions, when you take them in the form of a lemon, it actually protects your body from germs that are in the air. And of course, this is something that you're going to come in contact with. Well, I came across another article. I know, to me, this was almost kind of comical right here. There was a study done in the year 2010, so that's not that long ago, and it was published in the journal Neurosciences. And the only thing they did was they had a group of rats, and these rats, they put them into a maze, or in this particular situation, they called a labyrinth. So I know your life is not about being stuck in a labyrinth that you can't find your way out and you're stuck in a maze, but sometimes it probably feels that way as you try to navigate this way or that way and go, how do I get out of this? Well, in this study, all they did was they kind of used one of those diffusers, and they, well, you know what a diffuser is. You would put a couple of drops of the essential oil of lemon into a diffuser with a little bit of water, and it kind of produces this fine mist into the atmosphere. And so when you breathe, you go, oh my goodness, that smells so good. It's the essential oil of lemon. Well, all of a sudden, just the aroma of lemon caused these rats to solve this maze that they were in much better and faster. And I kind of thought to myself, I wonder what would happen in a school setting if the teacher had a diffuser and she put the essential oil of lemon into the air. I wonder what the kid's performance would be. That's got to be a simple experiment. You know what? Maybe it's not double-blind, placebo-controlled, crossover study. Who cares? What if the kids are doing better? Anyway. So when you actually take a lemon and you squeeze the juice thereof into a glass of water or herbal tea, what you're doing is you're adding negative ions to that tea. And these are things that naturally clean your body. I mean, I don't really have to spell this out too much for you. You know that if you go to the grocery store and you buy dishwashing liquid or laundry detergent, If it has lemon in it, usually it's one of the most pleasing smells of all time. I guarantee you, if you walk up to me and you have a freshly squeezed lemonade, I'm going to say thank you very much. Now, here's another one I came across right here. Now, I know this is a very confusing topic, but I'm going to try to oversimplify it, so you're going to have a little bit of trust in what I'm saying. And even if you don't trust what I'm saying, just kind of hear me out and just say, all right, does this make sense? Does it seem reasonable? Well, almost every disease that you can think of, and of course, the other day I was reading the latest research, it shows that as of the year 2019, if you're alive in 2019, guess what? You have a 40% risk of developing cancer in your lifetime. Those are just the numbers. That's not great. I think you have a 26% risk of developing heart disease. You're right at a 25% risk of developing diabetes. And so right off the bat, you've got, bam, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Then the other one that was a big one that's coming on strong is Alzheimer's. And so you know as well as I do, you do not want to be in that place as you age where you go through this tremendous cognitive decline and you can't remember who you are or who your family, well, except unless you had like amnesia for a reason. Well, nobody knows why I'm saying that but me, but anyway, you do not want to age in such a way to where you go through this horrible mental decline. No, no, no. What we want is we want you to age gracefully. And so the choices that you make now are going to make a huge difference later. But anyway, one of the things I was going to bring up, and this is not talked about a lot, but, you know, just think of it very simply. Your fortunes are going to rise or fall based on how either acidic or how alkaline your body is. And I've lost the researcher's name, but I was reading this the other day. And he was saying he has discovered the perfect pH for the body. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to read this, Roy. I want to see what this guy has to say. And he says, if you can maintain a pH of the blood of 7.36, then you are going to have the most fabulous health of all time. Now, I know there's more to it than that. But my point is, almost every problem that a human being is going to face when it comes to their health is going to be too much acid. It just is. And so, I know you've heard this before, but let me spell it out one more time. Cancer cells are cells that at one point in their lifetime, they used to be normal cells. And normal cells do this. They uptake oxygen along with starch or carbohydrates or protein or fat, and they react the oxygen from you breathing. And they react that with food, and they make it into energy, okay? And so, for example, when your body breaks down sugar or starch, you take oxygen plus carbohydrate, and that gives you carbon dioxide plus water. So your cells just naturally, when they burn fuel properly, they give off water and carbon dioxide. The last time I checked, carbon dioxide is just loved by plants. They drink it up and eat it like it's candy. That's a figure of speech, by the way. And so trees and anything green, they love carbon dioxide. This is all God's great design. Isn't it phenomenal? But not a cancer cell. No. What it wants to do, it doesn't want to use oxygen. It wants to ferment carbohydrates. And when it does, it gives off a boatload of acid. And on one level, that's almost like a cloaking device of a cancer or a tumor. They secrete all this acidic compound, and it surrounds a tumor, and I think it almost aids as a cloaking device to prevent your immune system from more actively recognizing this as aberrant tissue or destructive tissue that needs to be destroyed. And so if we know that heart disease is overly acid, diabetes, are you kidding me? That is too much acid, which basically, here's the big point for the day. Sugar is acid. If you flood your body with too much acid, guess what you're going to do? You're going to poison your mitochondria. You're going to flood your cells with all this gunk and debris. It's super sticky. They're just going to damage your body. If it was a smidgen of sugar ever so often, your body could probably handle that. But all day long, every day, it's going to break down. And so enter the lemon. So even though on paper, lemons and limes are acid, when you take them internally, they have an alkalizing effect on the body. They tend to reduce acidity once it's been created or metabolized in the body. And so let me read this to you right here. This is regarding the alkalizing effects of lemons or limes. The authors of a 2015 study published in the Annals of Rheumatic Diseases, which when I read that, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be interesting. So these authors are publishing a study in the Annals of Rheumatic Disease. Well, what would that be? That would be arthritis, and that would be rheumatoid arthritis, and that would be joints breaking down and calcium deposits. This is what they said right here, which I'm telling you, I love this stuff. It says lemon juice stimulates the formation of calcium carbonate released by the pancreas and aids in alkalization of the blood in the urine. Oh, okay. Well, what does that mean? And then they go on to write, it neutralizes acids such as uric acid. Maybe you haven't ever heard of uric acid before, but it's formed in the human body. It's also formed in animals, but we're here to talk about humans, not so much rats and guinea pigs. You know, I read the other day, and I was sharing this with Dorothy. I was saying, they can predict now who is going to have the greatest occurrence of a bipolar mania flare-up. You know, they go from being emotionally stable to where they really, really start to go off the deep end. I don't mean that in a bad way. I promise you I don't. But they can base that on uric acid levels. And so let me tell you how this works. If you have a family member or a loved one, and they just aren't acting right, and they're struggling to make it in this world, and they can't function and hold down a job, and they just have bizarre behavior, well, maybe they have bipolar disorder. I'm really not trying to go into that topic deeply. But in this study, they could predict who was going to have the greatest mental aberration based on uric acid levels. So as uric acid goes up in the blood, guess what happens? You're going to have a bipolar flare here. So what's uric acid made from? It's made from sugar. And see, this is a pure acid. You always heard that uric acid is going to flare up when somebody has like a big flare-up of gout. You know, they have that their great toe or their knee or their ankle or their wrist. It hurts so bad they can't even breathe on it because the pain would be so great. And personally, out of all the forms of arthritis that I've ever seen, and I don't know, there's maybe, what, 150 different forms of arthritis? I don't even try to keep tabs on them anymore. I just know if a person's hurting, it's my job to help them not to hurt, right? And so they've shown that if you want to feel horrible mentally or emotionally or physically, why don't we increase the uric acid level? Well, guess what rids the body of uric acid? This is the last part of the phrase in that study from the 2015 study published in the Annals of Rheumatic Diseases. Lemon juice neutralizes acid such as uric acid. Well, don't you think that's good to know? Now, listen to this right here. They go on to say, the researchers involved in the study tested the ability of lemon juice. And again, I think this is just so great because this is scientific research. You know how in medicine they say, well, there's no studies that's going to be effective. We can only use this drug. We need studies. I'm thinking to myself, there are studies, but you got to look for them and dig them out because they're not as common as the drug studies. You tell me, who's been rushed to the ER from kidney failure because they took and squeezed the juice of a lemon and a cup of tea or herbal tea and they drank it? Nobody has. But who's gone to the ER from taking a baby aspirin? Well, there's a whole bunch of people that die every year because the aspirin will burn a hole in their intestines and they'll just bleed out. You think I'm joking about that? No way. That's pretty serious. The researchers involved in the study, they tested the ability of lemon juice to reduce uric acid levels in gout patients. And this is what they said. In this study, all individuals given lemon water, that's the way they gave it to them. What is lemon water? You squeeze an amount of lemon into water, and guess what you do with it? You drink it. It's as simple as that. If you want to call this lemonade, then you can. How about lemonade minus the sugar? So in this study, all individuals given lemon water showed a reduction in serum uric acid. That means they did a blood test. There's proof right there. There was an improvement of serum creatinine level. If you have kidney failure or kidney disease or kidney problems, I think you need to pay close attention to what I'm saying right now. So there's two or three markers they look at. One is called GFR. You ever heard that term, GFR? So if you go to the doctor and you have a standard comprehensive metabolic profile, just a blood chemistry test, it probably costs them, what, $4 to do it? But one of the markers they look for is called GFR. That stands for glomerular filtration rate. And this is a very precise test of how well your kidneys are functioning. And so when GFR is 95 or above, guess what? Your kidneys are in great shape. I had a person come to see me the other day, and I looked at their GFR, and I said, my goodness, it says 152. Talk about a great set of kidneys. That's awesome. They were also a teenager. But anyway, but when your GFR starts to hit 60 or below, you've got kidney failure. So let's say that your GFR is like 51. Well, you're in stage 1 kidney failure. You would be nuts not to take that seriously. So in this study, all individuals, what does all mean? It means all of them. All individuals given lemon water, they showed a reduction in serum uric acid. That means the blood is less acidic, folks. Anything that you can do to alkalize the blood is going to be a home run or a win for you. You can take that to the bank. Well, actually, that means you get to keep your money in the bank instead of spending your money on all the drugs and medical procedures, which is fine by me. Plus, look at what would happen to the world or America if we could be more productive and have less sick time. They also improved serum creatinine level. That's a marker of your kidneys. So when that number goes up, let's just say that your serum creatinine is 0.6 or 0.7. That's excellent. Well, if it's 1.6, that means your kidneys are struggling. Another marker is called BUN. That's just an acronym for blood urea nitrogen. That also is a very precise marker on your kidneys. And so when your BUN is elevated, you had better wake up and take notice. You've only got one shot to turn this around. Yes, I'm very aware of the concept of talking to a doctor and saying, there's no way that's going to turn around. We might as well put a port in you or stick a stent in you and start dialysis right now. Well, if you believe that, then fine. That's your reality. But if you want to do something to improve yourself, in this study, they improved serum creatinine. They improved GFR, which is a glomerular filtration rate, which is a great test of kidney function, as well as urine alkalization after 6 weeks of lemon water. Are you kidding me? If you told me that there was a drug that you could be given by prescription only that would improve your kidneys in 6 weeks, I would say, tell me more. What can I learn about that? I just looked at the clock. I've gone overboard. If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to do so. I'll take your phone call right away. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you called me this morning. What can I do to help you?
Well, I have a question for you about flu shots. For someone that has COPD and chronic bronchitis.
Okay. You really want my opinion?
Well, yeah.
Okay. My quote's going to come from Dr. Hugh Fundenberg that did the studies on the flu shots. And he said, if you have between 3 and 4 consecutive flu vaccines, so if this is the year 2015, so if you get one in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, then you're going to have a 700 to 800% increase in developing Alzheimer's. So there's something about that shot. It may give you some protection against the flu, but the problem is there's a downside to it. It has been shown to lead toward the development of senility, dementia, and Alzheimer's. And they think that some of it has to do with the amount of mercury or aluminum that's found in the shot. And those are adjuvants, or they're compounds they use to kind of stabilize the virus. And, you know, we could probably debate whether the virus is half dead or half alive. I don't care about that, but it's a preservative. But the point is, the brain is not better off by injecting mercury or aluminum directly in your arteries or your veins.
Right.
So that may not be exactly what you want me to say, but I think I'm being very, very factual. But what I would, you know what I read yesterday on Fox News? They said, what is the difference between somebody that lives to be 110 years of age and somebody that doesn't? And they broke it down to one thing. They said their immune system is just a little bit more aggressive against infections. And so if you come in contact with a virus or a bacteria, what you want is you want your immune system to say, you do not belong here, and I'm going to corner you, beat you up, and eat you for breakfast. And so you rid your... And so some of the ways of doing that, so let me kind of give you two or three sales pitches here, and these are alternatives to maybe a flu vaccine. If I could convince you that your body requires a certain amount or certain optimal amount of what's called vitamin D3, I think I'm nudging your immune system toward functioning better. Now, your body makes its own natural antibiotics. I know that's not talked about very much, but two of the most important antibiotics that your body manufactures are based on how much vitamin D3 that you have in your body. So there's an optimal amount and there's a suboptimal amount. The two most common symptoms that a human being is going to experience when they're low in vitamin D3, they're going to have pain that just won't resolve and go away somewhere in the body, and then they're going to have fatigue that just never seems to get better. And I can tell you right now, your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on how much energy you have. It takes energy to keep the body in good working order. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah.
And so vitamin D3. And so if you're really concerned about how effective your immune system is going to respond to the flu virus, now's the time. Today's the day to start taking vitamin D3. And I would suggest to you closer to 10,000 units of the active form of vitamin D. It's called cholecalciferol, or if you want to call it vitamin D3, perfect. If you start taking that right now, I think that will help tilt the balance towards your favor to having a better functioning immune system. Is that okay?
Yeah, is an over-the-counter vitamin D3?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I mean, you could literally go into almost any grocery store now and you can find... You know what I found in Walmart this week? I looked on the shelf and they're selling ear candles now. I thought to myself, this is super fabulous. What if somebody had like a horrible earache on a Sunday night? Well, you go into Walmart and on the shelf, it was up on the top shelf, so you had to be at least 6 foot tall to grab. I'm joking. But they had them in the store and I thought, this is just too cool. I just love every bit of it. But anyway, so the other thing that I want to sell you on, You've got to have a firm understanding that the cornerstone of the human being's immune system is based on a mineral called zinc. I know
yeah,
I'm just...
I ask you.
Oh, yeah. And so if you take zinc every day with food, I think this is going to help put you in a better place where your immune system can be more competent. The other thing that... there's two more things I want you to consider.
Okay.
There is a plant or a bush or a shrub that's called the elderberry tree. Have you ever heard of elderberry?
Yeah.
Man.
I've had elderberry wine.
Thanks for mentioning that. So you made yourself, did you?
No, but this was years ago.
Well, it just goes to show you. You put enough sugar in anything, you can ferment something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so elderberry is one of the very best antiviral compounds. If medicine had elderberries and they could patent it, it would be their top seller, but they don't because it's natural. And that's just the way it works in this world. If it's a natural compound, they cannot patent it, so they don't put money into it because they can't get the rich rewards from all the revenue from a copyrighted chemical compound. But I would say if you had elderberry on hand, I have seen at the health food store, they sell rather cheaply these elderberry shots or elderberry syrup.
Uh-huh.
Man, I think it's good to have some of those in reserve just in case. If you start to come down with something and you start to feel like that you're getting something, that would be good. Now, I'm gonna tell you what my go-to is, but this is a little bit brutal. Not everybody's going to do this. But if I felt like, Roy, you might be a little bit off. I mean, you've been around all these sick people. You've been touching sick people. Maybe the reason you feel just a little bit sluggish right now is because your body's trying to fight something off. So if, for me, and again, when I say this is brutal, this is not just for anybody because most people reject this. But if I take a juicer, I just take like a hawk's bill or a paring knife, and I try to remove just the yellow part of the rind of a lemon, which means I want to leave as much of that pith as possible. If I run that sucker through the juicer with about 2 carrots, which carrots are like a great source of beta carotene and provitamin A, which I think that's great for the immune system. And then the next part is usually what the kicker is. It's taking a ginger root. So like if you were in the produce section of the grocery store and you're over there on the far wall and you're going, what is this gnarly looking root right here? Oh, that's ginger. But if you run the ginger through the juicer, I'm telling you, I think that's one of the most valuable things of helping people that get sick with an infection. They can't get well because ginger, man, that sucker will help drain the toxins from your body so quickly.
And yeah, so, ginger's pretty good.
Oh, but it's potent, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And so
that goes a long way.
You ain't kidding. If I said the whole root, you're probably thinking to yourself, how about I just try 1/3 of a root and see if I can survive that? Because it's such a heating, biting substance. I mean, you've heard of ginger having a little bit of a bite to it. Well, this definitely does. Yeah. And so that's what I think of as a health tonic. I just take the, one whole lemon, a couple of carrots, and a ginger root. And I'm telling you, I think that has saved me many times to help turn it around very, very quickly. But that's what you want. You don't want to ever let an infection become full-blown, and then 3 weeks into it, you're going, maybe I should do something now since I'm near death and I've got pneumonia. Well, you got to strike while the iron's hot, and that means the moment you start to feel off is when you do these things. The other remedy, when you go into the grocery store or the health food store, they sell a homeopathic remedy that's, I know it's a huge name, and I'm so sorry. Please don't ask me to spell it. It's called Oscillococcinum, but it'll say a flu remedy. But there are studies on this stuff. If you take Oscillococcinum, orally, put it under your tongue or in your mouth, the moment you start to come down with the flu, that'll turn the tide. Another thing, the British Medical Journal over 20 years ago, they enrolled all these people and they said, hey, if you start to come down with the flu, we want you to do one thing. And they said, are you going to pay us? And they said, yes, we are going to pay you for this. And here's what they talked them into. This was in London. So in the British Medical Journal, they said, all we want you to do is if you feel like you're starting to get the flu, we want you to go do one thing. And they said, well, what do you want us to do? They said, just go to an Indian food restaurant and order the hottest. When I say hot, I don't mean temperature-wise. I mean spice, like peppers or jalapenos. They said, just eat the spiciest meal you can and get back with us. And they said, well, what do you mean spicy? They said, we need you to eat something so spicy that it makes your eyes water and your nose run and you have to clear your throat because it's so hot. And they go, oh, we got it. And so they did that. It had an 87% cure rate. There is no drug on the planet that can do that with the flu. So I want you to remember that. So if you feel like you're coming down with something, that is one option you have is to go to the Taj Mahal and eat a spicy, spicy Indian meal.
I can run right over there.
You know what? I tried very hard yesterday to get my nephew, Andrew, to drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce, and he wouldn't do it. Why would he refuse my brilliant recommendations to drink straight Tabasco sauce?
Well, step it up one and try to get him to drink a bottle of scorpion sauce.
Is scorpion sauce the most deadly sauce on earth?
It's hot.
I haven't tried that. Is that available in grocery stores?
No, you have to order it from Tabasco, and it was it might have been a limited run, but yeah, it's toasty.
Anyway, these are things that you can do right now to help yourself. And the last thing is, if you're around anybody that's sick, just use the wits that God has given you. Don't put your fingers in your nose. Don't touch your eyes. Don't stick them in the ears. Don't lick your fingers. Don't put them in your mouth. And you won't get sick. They did a study with poker players, and the ones that played poker with guys that were sick with the flu, they got sick if they put their fingers in their eyes. But if they didn't, they never got sick. So just remember that.
You know what I heard was the most dangerous thing in a restaurant now?
The menu?
The pepper shaker.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah, it used to be the salt shaker, but everybody's getting off the salt. But they're still on the pepper.
So let me ask your opinion here. If you're at a restaurant and you grab a pepper shaker and it feels really sticky and slimy, what does that mean to you?
Run and wash your hands.
Yeah, run and wash your hands, because if you go into a restaurant and the table has a sticky tack to it, or the menu, which is plastic, is sticky, that's just a thick, big honking layer of toxic germs and bacteria and viruses. That's gross. Yeah. Anyway, you're right about that. Thanks for your help today.
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, there is a phone line officially open. We've got plenty of time, 903-586-5257. I know there's going to be several people that cringe over my recommendations, but you have to decide what's best for you. It is not a crime to make up your own mind about how to take care of your body, at least not yet. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan, I'd like to ask a question. Could you speak on fatty liver?
Yes, ma'am.
And this would be the non-alcoholic fatty liver.
Okay. Male or female?
Female.
How large is her tummy?
I don't know.
I mean, is she like a real slender girl with a fatty liver, or has she got a little bit of a gut?
A little bit of a gut.
Okay. There's. Can I just break down and tell you how to fix this?
Sure.
Okay. Number one, you got to have a completely different mindset. So what we want to do is we got to quit packing all the fat in the liver, and the way that you do that is by just cutting out grains. I know I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but if you want to have a cow pack on 30 pounds in a month, what do? You give them corn. And so, right now, with a fatty liver, that means you're consuming too many calories. And that's actually the worst thing that you can do to the human body as far as energy production. It almost shuts down energy production to eat more than what your body needs. And I think you've heard this before, but you could say, is it better to overeat or to undereat? And you know what the answer is. If you eat just a little bit less than what you want to eat, that's where you start to shrink the liver. But if a person said, all right, well, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to turn this around? Well, number one, you've got to start dissolving all the fat in the liver. And one of the ways of doing that is by drinking lemon water every day. You've got to start making the blood, you've got to start assisting the blood and the urine and the fluids of the body. If they can become slightly alkaline, then you can reverse this. And one of the ways of doing that is using lemons or limes. And lots of them. But if you stop eating grains, you are creating a window of opportunity for shrinking your liver and dissolving the fat in it. It's just as simple as that. I see this all day long, every day. If you focused on eating, now another technique that works very, very well is just sticking to a kind of a rigid schedule of only eating two meals a day. And so I'm just going to make up a scenario here. Let's just say at 12 o'clock, you're going to have broccoli and chicken. Just something very simple. And if it's enough to satisfy you, that's good. And for your evening meal, you had a big honking salad. And you can put some anything, just about anything in you want. You can use your imagination. But you got to remember, the liver loves good, healthy fats. But when it's fatty, it cannot tolerate the other type of fat. So if you had a salad dressing, you do not want to use soybean oil or canola oil or safflower. But if you use avocados in your salad, that's a good oil. And if you use extra virgin olive oil, oh my goodness, your liver loves to burn olive oil. And so those are things that will help right there. But if you avoid grains like wheat and tons of rice and corn, then you're going to be in a much better place. If you focus on mainly vegetables with a little bit of meat, you're going to reverse all this. The other thing that I think of with a fatty liver is I've got to increase the speed of blood flow. And the one way of doing that is just with movement. The liver is crazy about people moving. The hardest thing on the liver of all time is being sedentary. And so just kind of use your imagination here. Let's just say a person is just exhausted and they're tired and they're doing good to make it from the bedroom to the lazy boy and they watch TV all day long. Well, that's just a recipe for disaster for the liver. And one of the reasons why is you just can't get enough blood flow and you can't get enough oxygen and you can't get enough nutrients through the liver. But if you get up and move, like if you go for a short walk, even if you told me it was a terrible struggle to walk for 15 minutes, I would still be so proud of you for being brave enough to even try, even though you don't feel good. And that's where faith comes in. You know, in the Bible it says faith is the evidence of that which is not yet seen. And you're going, well, I haven't seen my liver in perfect shape in a long time. But you've got to at least move forward. So when you get up in the morning and you go for a walk, that is a vote that you want to help reduce a fatty liver. If you squeeze lemon juice in a cup of herbal tea like dandelion tea, and actually, out of all the things that we could talk about, dandelion might be one of the very best ones of all time when it comes to a fatty liver, trying to correct it and reverse it. But all these things, you're voting to improve your liver when you do these things. But you've got to greatly increase the speed of blood flow. So the faster that blood moves through your arteries and your veins and your capillaries, the cleaner it is. The more sedentary, which means the slower that blood flows to the body, the dirtier it is. Does that sound reasonable?
Makes sense, yes.
You can see that.
And very reasonable, yes.
Well, you're a reasonable girl, aren't you? I bet I'm coming across as the mean, evil ogre cracking the whip on you, making you do these things. So if you focus on eating, if you had one green salad a day, oh, that would go so far to giving you potassium. I almost can't get enough potassium in people because when the body is stressed, potassium just kind of shoots out through the kidneys and it's lost. And so we accumulate fluids and we accumulate waste and debris and toxins and we build up too much fat. Now, I'm not trying to say that potassium is a be-all, end-all, do-all, but it's an electrolyte, which means it generates electricity. Every cell in your body generates electricity. We either help them generate good electricity or they don't. So these are simple things. If you just had two meals a day, lunch and supper, and you skip breakfast, what's going to happen is for breakfast, your body's going to eat the liver. I actually meant eat the fat, the liver. I'm not trying to suggest your body's going to eat your liver. It won't eat the liver, but it'll eat whatever fat has built up and accumulated in it. And that's called intermittent fasting. And you've probably heard of that term before, haven't you?
Right.
Okay. But that's how you
do it.
Thank
you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. God bless.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. If you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. I could probably build a case this morning that maybe oxygen, it might be the greatest healing element of all time. By the way, sugar is like anti-oxygen. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Hello, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I got an echo on this phone. I don't know how come, but anyhow, I want to tell you
it's not too bad, though.
Nah, not too bad. Back in 2011, on invitation from Saratov University in Russia, I arrived there with pneumonia. And I went to their doctor, and in 3 days, I was pneumonia-free from the medicine that he gave me. I don't know what it was, but it must have been some of the stuff you're talking about this morning. Big reason I called is I have a bad pain in my neck. It's a muscular pain, or appears to be, and I can't seem to get rid of it, but I'm wondering if this lemon trick will work on that.
This, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but she's not listening. There's a woman that runs a business about three doors down from me, and she showed up at my office. She said, my neck is hurting so severely bad. She said, I'm terrified. I've never experienced pain like this. And I said, well, just let me take a look at it. And she had this big honking knot in a muscle that I could just barely touch. And I think she tried to kick me twice. No, but anyway. But I had her go to the store and just buy some Biofreeze, and then we put some lemon juice on it. And she, the very next day, I said, how's that horrible pain? She says, what horrible pain? And so here's what I want you to think of. You could very, very easily, and now I know lemon juice is sticky. Lime juice is not as sticky because I think it has less glucose in it.
But I've got both.
Yeah, well, you got nothing to lose. If you take fresh lemon juice or lime juice and rub it exactly where you have the pain, let it soak in. Now, the other thing that I think of that I find is just very intriguing is your body is going to drink this stuff up. I know that doesn't sound scientifically accurate or couth, but whatever you apply to the skin, your body's going to drink it or absorb it like a sponge. So a lot of these chemicals that women put on their skin, they're actually making everything worse. But if you put a lemon juice, that's about as natural as possible. But I did have this woman use Biofreeze also. And Biofreeze contains camphor and menthol that comes from peppermint. But her problem went away very, very quickly, which is good. You want the body to resolve something. The quicker it resolves it, I think the better off for you. So, yeah, you could do those very easily and see how it goes.
Well, I got both of them in my drawer, so I'll give that a shot right now.
Oh, well, good. Just cut them in half. Squeeze them on there. You know what you could
do?
Do you have one of those devices that you put a half of a lemon or half a lime in and you squeeze it and the juice comes out?
No, I can get one.
Well, if you did, what you would do is just squeeze it with one hand, catch the juice in the other hand, and just rub it directly on there.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Let me know how it works.
You described my pain just exactly the same as that lady, so I'm going to go do that right now.
Okay, good. Let me know how it turns out, buddy.
I'll certainly do it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. All right, you made in. Good job. You'll have to turn your radio off. There you go.
I was reaching for the hand for them.
That's all right. That's all right.
Good morning, Dr. Martin. This is Linda that you helped last week with the diarrhea that I had for 6 weeks.
What happened?
I did. They ran a test on the tissue, on the liver, and everything. Everything came back. It was okay.
Good.
And all, but I was eating the rice, and then I met several people that had the same thing, the diarrhea for 6 weeks. And one of the ladies told me that they recommended the Braxton diet, and it was rice, a banana, and a piece of toast.
Yeah, just something to soak up the poison.
Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I feel so much better.
Oh, good girl. Look at you. See there, God did make the body to heal itself, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And I was taking notes on what you were saying. What was that you said that when you start feeling a little sick from being
around? Oh, yes. It's
carrots, ginger.
I know this is like an old school therapy, but sometimes the old school ones that are tried and true. They just work the best over and over again. So if you take just one beautiful specimen of a lemon, you just take a paring knife or a blade and just cut the rind off. But you try to leave as much of the white pith as you can, because there's valuable nutrients and compounds that aid your immune system found in the pith. You know that white spongy part?
Mm-hmm.
So you just run that entire, I mean, if you got to cut in half, that's fine. But you just run it through the juicer, and it kind of makes this foamy root beer looking, you know, top to it. But you, I would do one lemon that's been peeled, and then I use two carrots, and then I use about a half a root of ginger.
Okay.
I don't have the research right in front of me, but I can tell you in a nutshell what happens. Number one, you are flooding your immune system with some of the most valuable immune-bolstering vitamins and nutrients of all time between the lemon and the carrot. Now, the ginger, that is one of the most interesting substances. It's very, very powerful. But when you're trying to cleanse the body and purge the body of a toxic virus or bacteria, I'm telling you, sister, ginger is hard to beat. It gets stuff moving out of the body. That is what you want. You do not want it to hang out in your body for the rest of your life. You want it to move and leave, right?
Yeah.
So could you imagine if you said, oh my goodness, I've got this horrible gunk in the back of my throat. It's draining down my lungs. I've got like a wicked cough. I can tell I'm coming down with pneumonia. You do not need to delay any longer. You need to jump and you need to strike while the iron's hot. Run that peeled lemon through the juicer with two carrots and about a half a root of ginger. I have done whole roots of ginger before, but I'm telling you, it will make your eyes water and your nose run. It just depends on what your tolerance to a little bit of suffering, but, you know, just a little bit.
Okay. One more question.
Yes, ma'am.
You were saying, when I have this real bad burning, everybody's hurting pretty bad. I have this burning sensation that wakes me up at night, that's going down my thigh on the left side, and it's burning.
Did you say your thigh?
Yes.
Okay. Now, whereabouts? Is it the front of the thigh, the top of it?
It's on the side.
Does it cross over the knee? Or is it just a burning down the side of the leg?
Just a burning down the side of it.
Okay.
And it wakes me up. And I mean, it's burning so then I hop out of the bed and start rubbing.
Well, does that make it go away?
Not really.
Well, did you go to bed without burning, but the burning develops as you sleep?
Yes. And it's not all the time, but when it does burn, it is
horrible. So, but did you say the left thigh?
Yes.
Do you tend to sleep on your left thigh or left side?
Yes.
Well, most likely you've got a nerve that's being impinged by a muscle. So you're going to have to just let me say this loosely, because I haven't actually examined you. But what I would do is I've got to trace back exactly where the worst point of pain is, and most likely there is a nerve running through that muscle, and that muscle is so inflamed and so knot, it's literally choking the life out of that nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you know what a foam exercise roller is?
I'm not sure.
Have you heard of a store in Tyler called Five Below?
No.
Where do you live, by the way?
Alistine.
Well, that explains a lot. I knew I was talking to a southerner from Anderson County. Hey, I know all about Anderson County. I love it. I think that's there are wonderful people. But I was just going to say, if you were to go into the large Mart store there in Palestine, if you go back to what's called the exercise or sporting goods section, they sell, you know, where they have jump ropes and, you know, weights and dumbbells, things like that. They sell what's called a foam exercise roller. It's usually about 6 to 8 inches around. Is long, like just a bit. Have you seen those pool floaties that kids use?
Yes.
It looks like one of those, but a lot bigger. But what you do is you lay it on the ground and you press that tender knotted muscle and you roll it out. But here's a shortcut.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, if you were to go on YouTube and just type in foam roller exercises for painful thigh, It would teach you, somebody would be willing to teach you exactly how to roll that out.
Okay. And I noticed, too, that if I lay on my back when I wake up, it's like everything is pressed down on that nerve.
Now, are you saying it's almost worse if you wake up while you're on your back?
Yes, if I sleep on my back.
I know what I'm fixing to tell you is going to come across as strange, but I just want you to hear me out, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I was paying attention to a study the other day that I found very intriguing and fascinating, and they're saying that chimpanzees, which I am not calling you a chimpanzee, I'm telling you what the study said, but they say when chimpanzees sleep up in trees, they try to make this very, very comfortable nest or bedding to where they can sleep on their sides comfortably. And so when researchers observe them, guess what they do? They never sleep on their back. Then they said, what about gorillas that are up in the Kenyan West Highlands? Well, they make a comfortable bed also, and they sleep only on their side. They don't sleep on their back. And the next thing really caught my interest. It says the highest occurrence of Alzheimer's and dementia is among people that sleep on their back instead of their sides. And I thought to myself, okay, this is interesting. Now, in the body, we have what's called a lymphatic system. And you've heard the term lymphatic, haven't you?
Right.
Well, the system in your brain that cleans and repairs your nerves is called the glymphatic system. Glymphatic with a G.
Okay.
And so when a person sleeps on their back, you don't get this fluid wave of washing of the brain and the cells and the tissues when you sleep at night. But when you lay on your side, fluid originates from the center of your brain, and it kind of pushes and washes outward toward the cerebrospinal fluid so you can wash your brain clean. And this prevents Alzheimer's. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I think I can talk about this on the radio on a Saturday morning, which I am right now. And so when you sleep on your back at night and you don't sleep on your side, you're causing waste to build up in your immune system without even realizing it. But that's why I'm telling you this. So if you can work that foam exercise roller, we've got to work those knots out of the muscles if you're going to be pain-free. But just remember, God has designed the body to repair itself. It can do it if you give it half a chance. So the reason I said Five Below is you can get a foam exercise roller for $4 or $5 there. If you go to like Walmart or Target, it's probably going to cost $20, $25. But that's a lot cheaper than going to the ER saying, what's wrong with me? And they could do $10,000 worth of testing and say, go to an orthopedist or go to a physical therapist or go to a chiropractor.
I had a surgery on my knee surgery, and I woke up one morning and I was crying because the pain was burning so bad, and they said, well, we can't do anything about it because you're only here for your knee. And they said, well, you wait till you get home and then come back and we'll figure it out. We'll give you some shots and stuff.
I just don't even like that story at all. You don't either, do you?
Not at all.
Was it your left knee that you had surgery on?
Well, I had surgery on the right knee.
Okay.
I've got to have the left one done, but I had it on the right knee, and the burning was...
Well, I think if you play with a foam exercise roller on your lateral thigh on the left side or the hip, I think you're going to be very pleased. And you can always rub lemon or lime juice on it also to dissolve the inflammation. Unfortunately, we're all
in a few minutes.
Okay, good. We're all out of time, but thank you for your call. Appreciate you so much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.